You?
I'm in there.
You're in there? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Who you let in there? Praise the Lord.
Since Joe's husband passed, I told her she has no more excuses tonight.
Amen.
So she's
praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And Andrew, you just, all you have to do is tell him one time, he never asks again. He knows the date. He keeps it memorized, so nobody forgets it.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. That's beautiful.
So you have just a lot of, just a meeting of the of saints?
Well, we have a lot of guys from prison
come. Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Who'd have thought?
Yeah. Praise God.
Who'd have thought God could do something, you know, with prisoners? Amen.
They all love Jesus.
Isn't that
sinners.
Powerful?
He loves sinners.
Thank you.
Amen. He loves sinners. Prisoners just means you're in class and you can't get out.
You don't gotta be locked up.
You gotta. That's right. Amen. That's true. Mm-hmm. You don't. Yeah. You can be a prisoner, not even being locked up. Amen. You'd be a prisoner coming to church every Sunday until you get set free. Amen? Hallelujah. How many know people in church are, some people in church are still prisoners? Amen? Because they're prisoners of their own, their minds, their past actions, because they haven't heard the Word of God. They heard be good and behave, and as long as they just keep showing up, but somehow or another the little thing keeps playing in their head. And so that's why we it's best to have a time, an opportunity for somebody to pray that those people who are bound among us would have an opportunity to share that struggle and be able to be set free. Amen? So that one of us or another of us, how many know the pastor doesn't know everybody? Now we do here mostly, by and large. A lot of you hide. A lot of people hide, even in small groups. Is that amazing how people can hide?
That's true.
And they're sneaky. Yeah, they can hide because they feel guilty and they feel like you won't love them. And so the devil's just got them just buffaloed. Is that they think you won't love them if you find out the truth. No. Amen. Jesus loves them. Jesus went to them. Jesus ran to them. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, when the disciples were off buying bread, he's talking to some woman he's probably not supposed to be talking to. You know, they probably, they came back up and said, what's he talking to that woman for? Amen? You ever had that kind of a conversation with somebody? Well, why are you talking to that person? Why are you hanging out with that person? Is it because they need Jesus? Amen? It's because they need Jesus.
Perfect.
Perfect. Amen. He does. He shows up. Amen. His name is above every name. Amen. You know, think of something. It's not just a sickness. It's not just poverty. It's depression. The name of Jesus is above lovelessness. You know, when you're feeling not loved, when you're feeling like people are all against you. Amen. The name of Jesus. Think, just receive that. The name of Jesus above. He's given him a name who is high above any other name that is named, that could be named.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Anybody else? Over here on this side. Over here on this side. Yes, Andrew.
I'm always happy.
Amen.
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 That's a good one. That's a testimony.
Yeah, and he is.
I'm always
he
happy.
Because he loves Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus.
Wow. I think there's more to that. I think there's more to that. Is there more to that?
No.
That's what it is. Hallelujah.
He just walks around saying, I'm always happy.
I'm always happy. Some of us ought to do that, you know. I think somebody ought to do that. You know, especially when, you know, when something else says, I'm not. Something else says, I'm not happy. You say, no. When you're reading good news, you're happy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You should read the Word. You know, that's what we talk about here in this psalm we go on and on about. Amen. But it's good to go on and on about it. In fact, we're going to go on and on so much that I found some more than the one we shared. But it's been a month, so y'all forgot what we said anyway. I found myself studying this one today, and I was supposed to be on the next one. Well, there's more to this one. So the Lord said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead and preach it. Amen.
Praise God.
So we're going to be in Mem again, which is Psalm 119, starting in verse 97. And I'm blessed sometimes, you know. Sometimes you want to say, well, I should come up with my own stuff, you know. And you should, when you're a preacher, you should come up with your own version of something. But I'm blessed many times by some of the old commentators, and one in particular is Matthew Henry. Anybody ever heard of Matthew Henry?
Yeah.
He's a guy with one of those guys with two first names. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Uh huh. So I'm going to share a little bit out of Matthew Henry with respect to what we covered last time, was that the portion of the scripture called Mem. If I can figure out how to turn this thing on. And
it was on when I gave it to you.
Oh no, it's not. It's this pad thing.
Oh.
And you know, nobody can help me with that. All right. Well, Father, we just thank you for this message. Thank you for the word that you have for us today, and we just receive it. Thank you for just enlightening us, opening our eyes, just as you said in the scripture. It said, "Open the young man's eyes," when the prophet was speaking about what the Lord was, how the Lord was going to deliver the armies of Israel from the enemies. He said, "Open the young man's eyes," and he saw out on the horizon the armies of God surrounding the armies of the who were surrounding the armies of Israel. And the armies of God surrounded the armies that were surrounding the armies of Israel, and he discomfited them. He stopped them. He defeated them by his own armies. And we thank you that we have an army today. Thank you that we have an army with us. Those who be with us are more than those that be with them. We look at our circumstances nationally and politically and as with respect to the things of God, and with respect to our nation.
Yes, Lord.
And the things which,
thank you, Jesus,
people have given themselves over to, which are against God and therefore against themselves. They have opposed themselves, as the scripture says. But Father, we thank you that you have come and indwelt us by the Holy Ghost, and that you're doing great and mighty things, and that you are using every individual person in your body to manifest and transform the nation that's right around them. So Father, we trust you with that. And we wake up every day and thanking you for that, praying that prayer. Lord, let me be effectual to bring the good news and the gospel of Jesus to set someone free, so that they're no longer looking at politics to save them.
Amen.
Or they're no longer looking at sin to make them happy. But Father, that you're, sin actually is a destroyer. It's a killer. It desires to have you, like Satan desired to have Peter, Jesus said, to sift him as wheat. So we thank you today, Lord, that you're using your word to set us free and to set those free whom you have brought into the kingdom of God. Let them not be as those who the seed falls on rocks and they grow up quickly and then die because of the heat, or they're choked by the affairs of this life as by weeds. But Lord, let them fall onto good ground. Father, we thank you that you till up the ground that seed has fallen upon, and that it be good ground, fertile ground, and it grow up. Well, Father, we pray you bring us across those whom we could till up their ground and give them good news. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Amen. All right, now look here. Psalm 119, verse 97. It says, "Oh, how I love your law."
Hallelujah.
"Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all of the day." What a declaration that is. Oh, how I love your law. Now, David has said that because he has experience. And we can learn from his experience. Amen? Because we trust God's word. And it's somebody who has a testimony, somebody here has a testimony. We're encouraged and built up by that. Well, these are the testimonies of David. Some of them start out like, "Oh, that was, man, I've been through a tough thing." Anybody ever been through a tough thing?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. At least it was tough to you. Somebody else looked at you, oh, that wasn't tough. Wait till you hear mine. You know, and people got their own little stories. But, you know, it doesn't matter because it was tough to you. Nobody knows where you came from. Nobody knows what your background was. Nobody knows what you experienced before you got there. So nobody can take away your testimony. Amen? So but God's word will handle any problem. God's promise will handle any problem. And David found that out. And he says, oh, how I love your law. When you start out a sentence with, oh, usually what does that mean?
Exclamation.
That's an exclamation of something. It's something that, my goodness, is it, you're starting out with an exclamation of either joy or excitement or relief, maybe. Amen. Oh, it's like somebody came by in the rowboat and you were sitting on top of the roof in Houston. Amen. And you just, oh, thank God. Somebody came by to pull me off the top of the roof. So it's an exclamation that David is making. Of course, we have in the English here, but that exclamation is coming out of the... how many know Hebrew is an expressive language? Hebrew is an expressive language. It is not a mental language. Greek is more of a mental language. Hebrew is more of a language. It's more of something comes from your gut, more of something that comes out of the heart. And it says, oh, how I love your law. Well, that's quite an exclamation. How I love your what?
Law.
Your law. I love the law. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all of the day. Well, why? Why would that be? And I want to look at some of what Matthew Henry has used to define some of this as we go through. It's a blessing. And you can get this in a bookstore. You can get it online. You can get it. There's an app. There's a Matthew Henry app, you know, that you can go get. I started using Matthew Henry's commentary off of the Blue Letter Bible, Blue Letter Bible was created by the Calvary Chapel Ministry, Chuck Smith, out in California. It probably started as soon as you could figure out how to put it on a computer, certainly in the 90s. And it just has expanded, and it's a great tool, and it's free. I like it because it's free. But it's got you know, most everything I need. A lot of folks have a lot of various different Bible helps and programs. So Matthew Henry says here for Psalm 119, it says, David's inexpressible love to the Word of God. Oh, how I love thy law. He protests his affection to the Word of God with a holy vehemency. He found that love to it in his heart, which, considering the corruption of his nature and the temptations of the world, he could not but wonder at it, and at the grace which it had wrought in him. He not only loved the promises, but he loved the law and delighted in it after the inner man. You see why I like this guy. He's got a handle on the whole thing. He not only loved the promises, but he in fact loved the law. Why would somebody love the law? I mean, unless you're afraid the law is going to put you in prison, you know. But in many cases, I think many being put in prison probably stopped a few people from dying.
Yeah.
Probably.
Protection.
You know what I mean?
Amen.
Amen. You know, I'd probably say that. You'd probably say that. You know, it probably stopped you from dying. Could have. So the law, why is the law good? It stops you. Amen. It stops me. It arrests me. What is it to be arrested? It is to be taken into custody. Amen? To stop stop whatever it is you're doing and to be taken into custody to protect you and to protect others. Probably ostensibly to protect others, but first of all, but then ultimately to protect you. And so that's what the law does. The law, when the law, as we read Paul in the New Testament, when the law was given so that we would know that we could not even measure up or keep it. The law was given to show us that we had no ability to meet with God. Amen? So the law was good because it showed us we had a problem that we could not solve. Amen? It gives me a problem that I cannot solve. So why would I love the law? Why would I love the law? Amen. So it defeats sin. It defeats your enemy. Amen? Isn't sin your enemy? Yeah, now you have to find out what sin, you know, what that sin, you find out that sin is your enemy and not your friend. Amen? You want to find out sin is your enemy. And so the law is like the whole, and it kind of fulfills that role ahead of time, like in the Old Testament it would have been like the Holy Spirit. The law speaks to you. The law tells you things. The law gives you understanding. Now you have the law living on the inside of you. Remember, he says in Ezekiel, "I put my law on their inward parts." And how did he do that? By moving on the inside of you, by the Holy Spirit. David had the Holy Spirit in him, anointed as king. So he had an anointing and an impartation of the Holy Spirit as the king of the people. So he was anointed as king, and therefore had wisdom as the king to declare to his people, and the people then trust God, and then trust that God has put their king in place, hopefully, you know, if he's a good king, if he's a good man. All right? So, let me look back here. I'm never any good at this because it always goes back to zero. So he not only loved the promises, but David loved the law and delighted after the inward man. An exceptional evidence of this, what we love to think of, by this it appeared that David loved the Word of God, that it was his meditation. In other words, how do you know he loved the law? Because he describes it. It's an addendum to the statement. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all of the day. He not only read the book of the law, but digested what he read in his thoughts and was delivered into it as a mold. It was his meditation not only in the night when he was silent and solitary and had nothing else to do, but in the day when he was full of business and company. Nay, and all the day, some good thoughts were interwoven with his common thoughts. So full was he of the Word of God. You see why I enjoyed this. It helps me to kind of expand my thought process to let somebody else who is, when I can tell, that is in general agreement. That's like you and I sitting together and rehearsing God's Word. Amen? When you and I are sitting together and rehearsing the promises of God, we may say it in a little bit of a different way, but what you say probably helps me and sets me free. Amen? Because I didn't quite see it that way. I didn't quite get that nugget dug out the way you did. And so, well, that's a blessing. Amen? Commentaries are good if you have a good foundation of the promises of the Word of God already, because they can help you. But I'm wary of just putting a new believer in front of a commentary. Amen? So I'll just make that caveat. But I have found that, and there's things I have disagreed with, you know, in Matthew Henry. But the expansion of the thought, in many cases, especially in this psalm, is really been a blessing. Amen. And, of course, you know, last time I talked to you about, you know, that Psalm 1, verse 2 is, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law does he meditate both day and night. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You're constantly, this is your answer. This is your response to anything, to trouble, to any circumstance of life. Your response, the words of your mouth. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Why do you want it so he won't be mad? No, let it be acceptable. Let me be in agreement with you. God, let me be in agreement with you, because when I'm in agreement with you, all my enemies are at peace with me. Well, what that means is that I'm not afraid of them. Amen. What that means is my enemies can't get me. When I'm in agreement with God, He is speaking to me and I'm hearing Him. Says Joshua 1:8 again, says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You'll constantly be speaking of it. But rather, on the other hand, actually, thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou shalt, that thou mayest observe to do. So meditation creates doing. Hearing it once to do it is a work. Oh, yeah, okay, I'll go do that. Meditation on the Word of God, where it becomes a part of your everyday walk, that, and then the doing comes out of the fellowship. The doing comes out of your fellowship with God, not out of some kind of obedience to please Him when He's already pleased that you've already put your hope and your faith in Him. Amen. I always want to make a distinction between doing the Word of God, keeping the commandments, and the fact that the commandments are already part of you. The commandments are already part of you. That's who you are and that's what you are. And you're walking according to His path because of what He's already put on the inside of you. You've already been reprogrammed. Your ROM, your read-only memory, the part that's in the computer that gives you your programming, has already been transformed. Amen. Amen. You've already been transformed. So what comes out of you is the work of God and the Word of God. You know, you're not trying to rewrite the program as you go. God does that. God rewrites your programming. Amen. Because, you know, if you put a command in and it runs the command, that command is gone. It's a one-time deal. I remember doing that in some basic programming. Is that, you know, when you would... Anybody used to do this, and I don't want to get away from anybody, but, and some people are too young to remember this, is you type the thing in, you type in the DOS prompt, you type in just the little command line, and it says, do this, this, this. Well, it does it one time. And then it goes back to the DOS prompt. It's empty. It's not a program. You just told it to do one thing one time. And you just forgot about it. But what this does is allows the entire back end of the program to be transformed and changed. The Word of God changes that. So what will happen is you try to do a work and it's just done one time and you forget it. You go your way and you forget what kind of man you are, James says. But when the Word of God is on the inside of you and it's become part of your programming because of meditation, it's what comes out. It's what, even on the startup of the computer, that's what comes up. The startup on every thought. The computer, what's it do? We say that it thinks. Well, that's what your thinker does. Is your thinking has been transformed and changed. Oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all of the day. Amen. All right. Let's look at... I got too much of the old one. Look at 98. You, through your commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies, forever they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all of my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. So, his enemy, we're talking about his enemies, we're talking about his teachers, and we're talking about the ancients or the elders. And look over here. In Matthew Henry, again, with these particular verses. The good method which David got. In his youth, he minded business of the country as a shepherd. From his youth, he minded business in the court and the camp. Which way then could he get any great stock of learning? He tells us here how he came by it. He had it from God as the author. Thou hast made me wise. All true wisdom is from God. He had it by the word of God as the means, by his commandments and his testimonies. These are able to make us wise to salvation and furnish the man of God for every good work. Number one, these David took for his constant companions. They are ever with me, ever in my mind, ever in my eye. A good man, wherever he goes, carries his Bible along with him. If not in his hands, in his head and in his heart. Number two, these he took for the delightful subject of his thoughts. They were his meditation, not only as matters of speculation for his entertainment, as scholars meditate on their notions, but as matters of concern for his right management, as men of business think of their business, that they may do it in the best manner. Now, I'm not reading the scripture, but I want you to listen to these thoughts to expand your thinking on these matters. These he took for the commanding rules of all of his actions. That's what I do. Amen. Do you do that? You take these for all the commanding rules for all of your actions is the Word of God upon which you have meditated. It's changed the way you function. I keep thy precepts. That is, I make conscious of doing my duty in everything. The best way to improve in knowledge is to abide and abound in all the instances of serious godliness. For if any man do his will, he shall know of the doctrine of Christ, and shall know more and more of it. That's out of John 7, verse 17. The love of the truth prepares for the light of it. The love of the truth prepares for the light of it. The pure in heart shall see God. Now, as to the verses we've just read, he distinguishes between the three verses that we just read about his enemies being wiser than his enemies, being more understanding than all of his teachers, and then having more understanding than the ancients. Now let's look at that. The great eminency he attained in it by studying and practicing God's commandments, making them his rule. He learned to behave himself wisely in all of his ways. That's out of Samuel. First Samuel verse 18. First Samuel verse 18:14. Now, number one, he outwitted his enemies. First of all, God by these means made him wiser to battle and defeat their designs against him. Now, think about your enemies. Maybe they're people. Maybe they're not. Maybe your enemies are things that you do that are not helpful. Folks you relate to that are not helpful, but they don't even look like enemies. Amen? Things of things in the world that you participate in or allow yourself. So he outwitted his, I love that, he outwitted his enemies. God, by these means, made him wiser to battle and defeat their designs. They were designed, your enemies are designed by the enemy to destroy you. To baffle and defeat their designs against him than they were to, I'm going to read that sentence again. God, by these means, made him wiser to baffle and defeat their designs against him than they were to lay them. Heavenly wisdom will carry the point at last against carnal policy. Heavenly wisdom will carry the point against carnal policy. By keeping the commandments of God, we secure on our side and make him our God on our side and make him our friend, and therein are certainly wiser than those that make him their enemy. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean you're, if you behave yourself, God will like you? No, that's not what he's saying here. What he's saying here is you get close to God. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. So in the case of your enemies, you know, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come to me, Moses. Yeah. If God be for us, who can be against me? So he says here, by keeping the commandments. And again, he'll talk about this a little further in the way that I talk about it. In keeping the commandments is not just like a doing of the commandment, but it's keeping them next to you. It's like keeping God next to you. Amen? By keeping the commandments, we secure God on our side, make him our friend, and therein are certainly wiser than those that make him than those who make him their enemy. By keeping the commandments, we preserve in ourselves the peace and quiet of mind which our enemies would rob us of. So in keeping his word close by, we preserve in ourselves the peace and quiet of mind that our enemies would rob us of, that our fears would rob us of. And so far are wise for ourselves, wiser than they are for themselves, for this world as well as for the other. Number two, on teachers. He outstripped his teachers and had more understanding than all of them. He means either those who would have been his teachers, who blamed his conduct and who desired to, hey, I'm going to be your teacher. Listen to me. Yeah, anybody like that? They're going to be your they've decided that they are going to be your teacher. Either those who would have been his teachers, who blamed his conduct and undertook to prescribe to him or to tell him what to do, by keeping God's commandments, he managed his matters so that it appeared in the event he had taken the right measures and they had taken the wrong. In other words, that's that kind of a teacher to kind of convince you based on shaming you. Or those who would have been his teachers, that is the priests and the Levites, who sat in Moses' chair and whose lips ought to have kept knowledge, but who neglected the study of the law and minded their honors and revenues and the formalities only of their religion. So they were teachers by profession, but not in truth. And so David, who conversed much with the scriptures, by that means became more intelligent than they. Or he may mean those who had actually been his true teachers when he was young. And he built so well upon the foundation which they had laid with the help of his Bible, he became able to teach them. Of course, he didn't have a Bible like you and I have a book Bible, but the scriptures. He became able to teach them, his own teachers, to teach them all. He was not now a babe that needed milk, but had spiritual senses exercised, as in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. It is no reflection upon our teachers, but rather an honor to them, to improve so as to really to excel them and not to need them. By meditation, we preach to ourselves And so we come to understand more than our teachers. For we come to understand our own hearts, which they cannot. Very interesting. So we come to understand our own. Your teacher, no matter who he is, unless he has a revelation from God by the Holy Ghost to give you a word, Pastor Jim or Andrew Womack, me, anybody, will not know the inside of you. Only God Himself can know the inside of you. You can't depend on the pastor to grow you up. You have to depend upon the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. Amen? You can't keep coming to a meeting and expect to grow. I mean, you'll get a little here and a little there. I mean, that's the problem with people who are in college all their lives. They're in a cocoon that they never experience reality. They're always getting something from somebody else's opinion. It needs to be you, the world, and the Word of God, and the Holy Ghost. That's how you grow. Amen? And you come and you fellowship and you receive understanding and wisdom through teaching and through teaching that's inspired by the Holy Spirit. But it's all necessary. It's all necessary. By meditation, we preach to ourselves, so we come to understand more than our teachers. For we come to understand our own hearts. Again, this is Matthew Henry. This is not the Scripture. But it's an observation of the Scripture and of the Word of God. It's a teaching. For we come to understand our own hearts, which the others' teachers cannot. They don't understand your heart. They don't know what happened to you when you were five. They don't know what you thought about your mom and your dad. They don't know what you thought about the preaching of the pastor or the youth minister that you had when you were 15. They don't know. But God knows. And as you put the Word of God on the inside of you, He begins to reveal the thoughts of the heart. Remember over in Hebrews chapter 4, He says, the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. To the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and discerns between the thoughts and the intents of your heart. So the Word of God gets in there and begins to clean and begins to treat disease of thinking. Amen? The Word of God. It's not word by word, but it's the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. He comes to dwell on the inside of you through His Word. How do we know that? It says faith cometh by
hearing.
And hearing by the Word of God. So faith grows. Faith grows on the inside of you. It doesn't like get bigger, but it permeates. It gets more of you. Amen? Faith isn't like getting bigger and bigger. It's actually just taking over. It's permeating every part of you. And I believe that, and I receive that, and I live like that. I say, Jesus, just come, take over. Take over my thinking. I find myself sinning a sin. And again, and again. Jesus, take over. Take over. Well, He said, I got to do this one before I can do that one. Well, no, don't do that one. I like that one. Just do the other one. Well, you can't. You can't do the other one without doing this one. Oh, that's awful. It's because you thought you could keep this one and just get rid of the other one. But the other one is what causes the other one. Amen? Isn't that funny how that works? You ever tried to talk to your kids? They don't get it either, do they? You ever tried to talk to somebody else and they just don't get it? Well, sometimes you don't get it. And then the Holy Spirit has got to get you. So Lord, get us. Lord, get me. I want you to get me. I want you to get everything. Amen. All right, he outdid the ancients, part 3 here, and that is verse, of course, I understand more than the ancients, verse 100. Because I keep your precepts. He outdid the ancients, either those of his day, he was young, like Elihu, remember over in the young guy in Job, and they were very old, but his keeping God's precepts taught more wisdom than the multitude of years. Job 32:7-8. Or those of the former days. He himself quotes the proverb of the ancients. But the word of God gave him to understand things better than he could do by tradition and all the learning that was handed down from the preceding ages. In short, the written word is a surer guide to heaven than all the doctors and fathers. The written word that we have is a surer guide to heaven than all the doctors and fathers. The teachers and ancients. As an aside, Matthew Henry is obviously a word man. He believes the word of God over church fathers and teachers that didn't make it into the scripture that we have and that is brought down to us. Somebody said, well, you know, the Bible has only been, you know, here in our hands in this form for what? 500 years? For only about 500 years. I mean, you know, it was 2,000 years of Christianity. What did they do before that? Well, they had copies. Hope you had good handwriting. You had copies. And I think that's back when they taught handwriting in school. They don't teach that anymore. Now you just type. So, but God kept the Word of God and the faith of Jesus Christ for the first 1,500 years. And then set it in this form, I believe is just as capable to keep his word and to keep it true in the last 500 years as he was the first 1,500. Amen? I hope you're receiving what I'm saying to you. This Bible here is just as much the Word of God, the New Testament Christian testimony, as it was for the first 1,500 when it wasn't in a book form. Of course, when it started out as a book, it was this thick. You know, and it wasn't one you could carry around. I get tired of carrying this one around. I mean, the ones they had were like, you know, about 8 inches thick. And it was a little difficult. And then they had a chain to the pulpit, so you couldn't take it home with you. Because they were very expensive. You'd have to have a wagon to carry it. In short, the word is a surer guide. The written word is a surer guide to heaven than all the doctors and fathers and the teachers and the ancients of the church and the sacred writings kept. Even the sacred writings, the ones we say are important. The good books that so-and-so has. And kept to will teach us more wisdom than all their writings. The written word of God will teach us more wisdom than all of the writings. Amen? Now let's look at verse 101. He says, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep your word. I've refrained my feet from every evil way. David also said in Psalm 17 verse 4, he says, by the words of thy lips, I have kept myself from the paths of the destroyer. By the words of thy lips, I have kept myself from the paths of the destroyer. Just by the words of his lips. Matthew Henry continues, David's care to avoid the ways of sin. I have refrained my feet from the evil ways they were ready to step aside into. I checked myself and drew back. as soon as I was aware that I was entering into temptation. Though it was a broad way, a green way, a pleasant way, and a way that many walked in, yet being a sinful way, it was an evil way. And he refrained his feet from it, foreseeing the end of that way. Let's read the scripture again. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep your word. So there's a great distinction between walking into something that you know is evil and being and keeping his word. It's a severe distinction. You can't do it. And his care was universal. He shunned every evil way. By the words of that same scripture I read, by the words of thy lips, I have kept myself from the path of the destroyer. His care to be found in the way of duty, that I might keep thy word and never transgress it. His abstaining from sin was an evidence that he did conscientiously aim to keep God's word and had made that his rule. It was a means of keeping God's word in the exercises of religion, for we cannot with any comfort or boldness attend on God and his holy duties so as in them to keep his word while we are under any guilt or under any byway or in any what I call a little eddy off in the creek. You know, you ever seen a creek where the creek is running, but here's a little group of leaves or something gets caught over in the corner and it can't continue down the stream because it's caught in a little eddy. It's caught in just in a little whirlpool all by itself and it can't get out. You know? So what he's talking about is the fact that don't get caught turning aside. Don't get caught turning aside to one thing or another that the enemy wants to give you. Right? And again, this has nothing to do with the fact that you're born of God, bought with a price, God loves you, his desire is to keep you. But to when you see that thing and God says, don't go there.
I have more understanding.
If you have, read that scripture. Is that when you see that and you walk away from it? Like Joseph.
I app that you're talking about, and I cannot figure it out.
Well, you'll figure it out after church. But remember Joseph as he fled from Potiphar's wife. Yeah, you'll remember as you know he fled that because he knew that God that he would miss out. That's the thing. He would miss out on the blessing of God. So the meditation on the Word shows you the distinction between sin and giving in to sin and determining to stay on the path of righteousness. It's not because God's mad or you're losing your reward, but it's that you know that this is how I grow. Amen? This is how I grow. So as you meditate on those things, and you'll hear the Lord, see, you know, because Pastor Jim won't tell you. He won't say. He'll say, "Go ahead and sin if you think that's it, right?" You've heard him say that. Go ahead if you think there's life in that. Go ahead. But when that distinction and that choice comes, and you know there's not life in it, and yet your flesh still has that wants to run over there, but you know by the will of God, and by the mind of God, that's to avoid that. You can see that you can see that what's going on with that, you know, just up ahead, and you'll avoid it because it'll cost less money. Amen. It won't take money out of your kids, you know, dinner money or college fund or, you know, there are things that we do that are just stupid.
Oh.
Amen.
Yep.
See the word "oh"? There's another usage of the word "oh." Oh, Brother Hagin used to say, if you can't say amen, say oh me. So he says, I'm going to read that again. It is a means of keeping God's word in the exercises of religion. For we cannot with any comfort or boldness attend on God in holy duties so as to keep in his to his in them to keep his word while we are under guilt or in any byway. How many know that guilt will just beat you up for a while? Huh? The devil gets you to take that one step over into the mud and your nice pretty white, pretty black shoes are just covered in mud. Oh! I mean, you know it right when you did it. Amen? Anybody, you know it just right when you did it. You stepped in it. The mud, I mean. Or whatever you stepped in. Because the enemy just loves to get you and he brings you over there and he just like... Then you just got 20, 30 minutes cleaning your shoes off. What could have happened in that 20, 30 minutes? What could have happened in that 20 minutes? There's another guy walked by that needed your help and you were busy just getting the junk off your shoe. Because you're totally unaware. The devil goes, boo! And you go, what? Then all of a sudden you're out. You didn't have the wherewithal to understand what was happening right in front of you. Amen. So in other words, the enemy loves to distract you when God would have something for you to bless you or to bless somebody else along your path. Because you're busy feeling guilty for yourself. So many people feel guilty for themselves and they can't help anybody. Amen? Anybody been like that? You know somebody like that? I mean, they were just in the shop. And their car got put way back in the shop. It's like the car was never going to get fixed. The mechanic just put it off in the back of the shop because it's not going to get work. Nothing's going to ever get done to it. Because nobody will agree on what the problem is. You want to get it done and get it back out on the road. See, so many of us, so many people just get off back in the back of the shop and they never come out. Their feelings are hurt. Amen. Meditate on the Word of God. Meditate on the Word that says God loves you. He's doing a work in you. So you don't want to be caught up in any guilt or any side trip or any eddy swirling around over here and you can't get out and being kept from God's love and God's will. All right, now, verse 102. I have not departed. We'll get down here real quick. I have not departed from your judgments, for you have taught me. So David's constancy in his religion, he had not departed from God's judgments. He had not chosen any other rule than the Word of God, nor had he willfully deviated from that rule. A constant adherence to the ways of God in trying times will be a good evidence of integrity. A constant adherence to the ways of God in trying times will be a good evidence of our integrity. So that was the fact of his constancy. Now here's the cause of it. The next part of the verse. For you have taught me. Why have I not departed from his judgments? Because he taught me. Because I've been taught. I didn't not depart from his judgments because I was good at it. I didn't depart from his judgments because I'd been in his presence and he taught me. That's the way you get it. You get it because he taught you. The cause of his constancy. For thou hast taught me. That is, they were divine instructions that I learned. I was satisfied that the doctrine was of God, and therefore I stuck to it. Or rather, it was divine grace in my heart that enabled me to receive those instructions. It's the power of God. The Holy Ghost. All the saints are taught of God, for he it is that gives understanding. And those only that are taught of God will continue to the end in the things that they have learned. He who endures to the end shall be saved. How sweet, verse 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. The pleasure and delight which David took in the word of God was sweet to his taste, sweeter than honey. There is such a thing as spiritual taste, an inward savor and relish of divine things. Such an evidence of them to ourselves by experience as we cannot give to others. As I said earlier, you can't teach this. You can't get this by teaching. I'm going to read it again. There is such a thing as spiritual taste, an inward savor and relish of divine things, such an evidence of them to ourselves by experience as we cannot give to others. We have heard him ourselves, John 4:42. To this scripture taste, the word of God is sweet, very sweet, sweeter than the gratifications of sense, even those that are the most delicious. David speaks as if he wanted to express the satisfaction he took in discoveries of the divine will and grace. No pleasure was comparable to it. The unspeakable profit and advantage he gained by the word of God. It helped him to a good head. Through thy precepts I get understanding, to discern between truth and falsehood, good and evil, so as to not mistake either in the conduct of my own life or advising others. It helped him to a good heart. Therefore, because I have got understanding of the truth, I hate every false way. The truth versus the false way. And am steadfastly resolved not to turn aside to it, as we've talked about before. Observe here. The way of sin is a false way. It deceives and will ruin all that walk in it. It is the wrong way, yet to man it seems right. Proverbs 14:12. It is the character of every good man that he hates the way of sin and hates it because it is a false way. He not only refrains his feet from it, verse 101, preceding, but he hates it, has an antipathy to it, and a dread of it. Those who hate sin as sin will hate all sin, hate every false way, because every false way leads to destruction. And the more understanding we get by the word of God, the more rooted will our hatred of sin be. For to depart from evil, that is understanding, Job 28:28. And the more ready we are in the scriptures, the better furnished we are with answers to temptation. Psalm 19, verse 14, to finish. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. Approved. Be what you want. In thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Why? So that I'll have every gift that he wants to give me. And Psalm 49:3. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. Amen. Well, I hope that blessed you today. It blessed me. I'm just going to sit here and be blessed. And I know it probably didn't. It wasn't as easy for you to receive me reading it as it probably would have been had you read it yourself. So I just wanted to encourage you. You can go back and certainly go find Matthew Henry. Go read through this again here on this particular portion of this psalm. But I want to just encourage you that the Word of God is transformative. Amen? And again, you know, I believe that's why the Lord let me neglect my next message and come back to this, because I believe it'll help you. Amen? I believe it'll help me. It helped me. just to meditate on this thing. Meditate, come back to it.
Yeah.
Amen? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you today for this word. Thank you that you'll just cause it to make deliverance in us. To destroy the work of the enemy and destroy the work of our flesh. And so that we understand that reading the Bible as an exercise is not the point. Good works are not the point. Knowing God is the point. But by His Word, we are known and we know Him and become known of Him. Because the Word searches out our hearts and reveals those things which you desire to transform to us individually. And causes us to be able to be a light to those who are in need. First of all, us. And we thank you for the foundation of it, which is the blood and the body of the Lord Jesus. So, Father, we thank you today as we partake of this body and this blood, that we are remembering the death of the Lord Jesus until He comes. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen. All right. Love you guys.
Love you.
See you soon.